Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this place. And Lord, it's our prayer that you've been honored and glorified here this morning with our worship, and that that would continue. Lord, as we teach and talk about your word, that's worship, Lord, and that you'd be blessed by it. And Father, I ask that today you would speak to us as a church. Lord, that's constantly our prayer. That's why we gather. But Lord, specifically today, that we would hear from you collectively as Old Town Christian Fellowship. And as we examine your word, Lord, and what we should look like as a church and where we're really at, Lord, that you'd reveal things to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were here with us last week, you know that we've done different things as we go through the Word of God. We've taught Matthew a couple of times, but last week we finished 2 Peter, and I was going to say we taught through the entire New Testament as a new church, and that's really cool. But some of you were kind enough to let me know right after I skipped like 3 verses last week, so we haven't quite done it all. I'll hit those here and there, but so today's an opportunity to, as we are in between books, to talk about a topic. And this is a topic that's been on my heart for really the last 6 years, since we started the church. We've talked about it as it's come up in scriptures, but I want to make an emphasis on that today. And to sum it up, it's sort of what I just prayed, is what does the Bible say that our church should look like, and how are we doing lined up with scriptures? And before we get into it too deep, I want to take a minute to personally thank everyone that was here yesterday and ask if you could all pick up the parking lot on your way out. No. That was awesome. I came in this morning, it was like a rainbow of color out there. It's just evidence and testimony of what took place here yesterday. But whenever we do something like that, when we put on an event and try to reach out to the community and just love them because this is where the Lord has placed us, we always try to measure results from that. You know, does it bear fruit is something we might say. And the ways we'd measure that is, you know, how many people showed up? Did we get more people than last year? Were more kids here than there were last year? Did any new folks, as a result of coming here and just seeing us trying to love the community, did any new folks show up as a result of that, that hopefully you guys interacted with, hopefully you invited? One little girl being overheard to say, "This is the best day of my life." That's success. Another little boy being heard to say, "You're my favorite Superman ever." As the Man of Steel, I have to say that was very cool. But this year, knowing what we were going to talk about today, I was measuring it a little bit different. As I looked at success, as I looked at what happened, and everyone that showed up here yesterday to be a part of that came with a heart and a desire to bless others. And it was awesome to see how everyone worked together. More people were involved yesterday than ever before. Not just for the harvest party, but any event that we've done here. More people showed up to participate yesterday than ever before. And it was cool. And it was refreshing and encouraging to see all of you guys laboring together for a common purpose. And I hope that people that came that maybe aren't a part not just saw you guys doing that to serve the community, but saw deeper that you guys really love each other. That was the cool thing to see yesterday. And it was the perfect lead-in to today's message, what we're going to talk about. So if you're a visitor here this morning, if this is your first time here, we are glad you're here, and we hope that you join us again. Typically, as I said, we study through the scriptures. We go book by book. We talk about it. We discuss it. In fact, next week we're going to be starting the Gospel of Mark. I encourage everybody to read ahead. With that being said, we're starting a brand new gospel. It's a great opportunity to invite people and get them on early so they don't feel like they're coming in halfway through a story. And with that, if you don't have a Bible this morning, if you slip a hand up, they'll put a Bible into your hands. If you don't have a Bible, please consider that a gift from the Lord. As I said last week when I taught, I left three verses out, right? So it's good to follow along, and it's good to see what the preacher's saying, if that's what it really says. There's a couple little cards in there, and that's where we're going to be today. So we're going to be in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, two passages. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I want to welcome you as well. We are glad you're here. But this morning, as we evaluate what the scriptures say about the church and how we're doing, I got to say, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. Have you guys heard that expression before, preaching to the choir? I've heard it, but I wanted to see how it was defined. You know, what's the actual definition of that expression? It means, essentially, that you're trying to explain something to someone who already understands it. So, you're wasting your time. You're trying to make believers out of people who already believe or convince people who are already convinced. Another definition says, it clearly refers to the pointlessness of a preacher attempting to convert those who, by their presence in church, have already demonstrated their faith. Okay, and the last one, to speak as if to convince a person or group of something that they already believe. And I actually think that is what I'm doing here this morning, is talking to a group of people about something that they already believe strongly, but might not be entirely living out in practice. And I'm speaking to the leaders of this church. I'm speaking to the ministry heads in this church. And I'm really speaking to everyone here that calls themselves Christian. So I want to take a look at what the Bible says our church should look like. And for all of us, both collectively and individually, to be challenged by that question, how are we doing? Not just how do we think we're doing? Or we do an event yesterday and a lot of people show up and that was we're awesome. You know, but when we look at the standard that God sets forth, how are we doing compared to that? So Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to start. And a couple things I want to point out before we get there is the whole idea of church, and in the word church, the New Testament word for church comes from a Greek word, ekklesia. And you guys that are here all of the time know that I don't often try to speak in the original languages of Hebrew or Greek to try to make myself seem smarter, mostly because I can't pull that off, you know? I have enough trouble pronouncing words in my own native tongue. But this word, ekklesia, is interesting to me. It's defined as an assembly or called out ones. But when you look at the history of the word that was used way back at the origin of the writings of the New Testament, it wasn't a particularly religious term. It's kind of a secular term, actually. It's any gathering or assembly of people. It could be for the purpose of business, to gather together a work team. It could be a political gathering. So it's interesting to me, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when the New Testament writers went to speak of the church, they used a term that was sort of secular, that they didn't want to use a term that was overly or overtly religious. And there was words available at the time. You guys that have been with us through our Old Testament studies have learned the term synagogue. You know, people would go to synagogue, but synagogue was the religious cultural center of their lives. If they were messing up or they were falling into sin and they were taken out of synagogue, that was everything that they knew, their family, their friends. So it would have been easy for them to say Christian synagogue, right? And everybody would have known that they were talking about church or the gathering together. But that's not what was chosen for the New Testament. The second thing I want to point out, that as we go through the scriptures, you see a number of different names for the church or metaphors referring to the church as it's described in scriptures. One of them is the body of Christ or the bride of Christ, the family of God. The church is often referred to as a gathering of believers, the elect, the sheep of the shepherd. And this morning, these scriptures, what I want to focus on is the church as a body. And I want to talk about that because it's a description that I think everybody here can relate to, right? All of us here haven't been a bride before. Even though we haven't, we can sort of relate to it. But all of us here have a body, correct? We don't have any disembodied spirits among us this morning, I hope, I pray. So, it's something we can all relate to. Let's look at the scriptures that pertain to it. Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to start. I strongly encourage you to read the first three verses later, but today we're going to start in verse 4. Verses 4 and 5 says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." And I'm going to have to be careful this morning because I could spend all of our time on those two verses because there's so much stuff there. When it says members, when I read that, I don't want you guys to think of like membership roles, okay, or members of a group or members of the church, but think of it rather as independent parts. Okay, members of our body would be our ears. Our ears, right? Our noses, elbows, and toes. Different parts of the body, okay? So have that in mind when we go through this. So it says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function." So it's one body, but there's many members. One body means that there's unity, or there should be unity among the members, right? Described as the church, but not uniformity. We don't all look the same. We don't all do the same thing. We don't serve the same function. You guys that have been here with us through some of our marriage conferences that we put on have heard somewhere along the line, or if you've done premarital counseling with me, you've heard about love languages and how we receive and how we express love, how we communicate that to other people. You may be someone that likes to hear it, you know, likes to be reassured of that, or hear favorable comments, or hear "I love you," or receive praise. And if I'm that type of guy, I like to hear that, or, you know, it's just nice to be confirmed, and I want to express love to Nicole, my wife, then I might try to do that in the same way, right? That's how I receive love, so I want to communicate that to her. The problem is that might not be the way she receives love. She's been a Christian for a long time, right? So she's used to people telling her things and saying things and not following through on it and being wounded by words. So hearing "I love you" or being told great things might not speak love to her. It might be, "Show me. You know, live this out, what you're saying." So in the same way that we might try to communicate love to somebody else in the way that we receive love, it's sort of the same way with spiritual gifts. You know, it's like if my gift is teaching, then I think everybody should be teachers, right? And you should work that gift. And if you want to grow your lesser gift, you know, and use that for God, then God bless you. But you should be doing what I'm doing, right? Or an elbow, we'll talk about how functional they are and how useful that is, and you should all be elbows. And that's just not the case, as we see in the scriptures here. All different functions, but unity among the body. We each have different roles. We each have different functions. But there has to be some organization of that. And this is where I'm speaking to the ministry heads and the leaders in the church, that it's our job to help organize all those different roles and functions to work together in a purposeful way for a common purpose, to be one body. And that's a big deal. It's a big deal that the church would be one like that. That's why, guys, if you've ever been a part of a church split or division within a church, it's not like just getting a new job. You know, you worked here for a season, and then you go over there and work, and those are your old coworkers, these are your new ones. But the church is designed by the Lord to be one body. That's why if you've been a part of something like that, or something bad happens in the church, it's like a divorce, or it's like getting a limb amputated. It hurts. It's by design. You guys that have been with us since the beginning know that our desire here at Old Town Christian Fellowship has been to keep things simple, right? Our emphasis is on the Word of God and teaching through the Scriptures, explaining it simply in a way that all can understand and grow in their understanding, increase in their relationship with God. But as a church, as a whole, we're committed to loving God and loving people. That was like our very first sermon, talking about that. Loving God, growing in our knowledge of Him, and improving and increasing that vertical relationship that we have with Him. That our relationship, personal relationship, not religion, but our relationship with God would be our highest priority in our life. And as we grow in that, and as that vertical relationship develops, that our horizontal relationships would grow. And just as a pouring out from that, we would love people. Not just the ones from your right into your left, but the ones out there, you know, that maybe aren't doing things exactly as you would do them. Love people, not necessarily their problems or their sin, but love and reach people that Jesus died for. So that's been our focus, loving God and loving people, the two greatest commandments, right? According to Jesus himself, in Matthew chapter 22, you guys may remember a lawyer that was trying to test Jesus asked him this question in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Another thing that you guys have heard, if you've been with us for the last several months, has been our emphasis in wanting to really invest in discipleship. You know, discipleship both with each other in this body and others outside the church. When you guys look at Jesus, and again, next week we're starting in Mark, opportunity to go through another example or a gospel, but another story of Jesus. When you look at his life, how he applied it, Jesus didn't go to synagogue to pick his disciples. You know, he didn't go to church and say, "Okay, I'm going to pick out 12 guys that are already walking in the faith, and I'm going to begin to disciple them." Right? Where did he go? He went to a tax collector, right? We've been talking, we just finished 2 Peter. He went to some guys that were fishing. He met the woman at the well, right? And those, Jesus started discipling people before they even became Christians, right? He went out and met them where they were and started talking to them and encouraged and invited them to follow him. So his discipleship wasn't just within the walls of the church to find somebody that's more mature in the Lord than you and to find somebody maybe not so mature. And that comes directly from the Scriptures, again, what we call the Great Commission. Further in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, this is after the resurrection, after Jesus died on the cross and then was resurrected. He went and he met those disciples before he ascended into heaven. And he gave them this instruction. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I want to remind you guys, and we've talked about this, it says, go out and make disciples, right? It doesn't say go out and make converts. We're to do that. We're to evangelize and teach and share our faith. But it's not up to us if somebody receives that. You know, we do that out of obedience, and we share the truth. But that's the Holy Spirit's job, what they do with it, how they receive it, if they act on it. And we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Like, I've got to share this, and I've got to pull the trigger and get them to make a commitment and pray the sinner's prayer and all this stuff. And that's God's job, getting them to that point. You know, but so go therefore and make disciples, train up, instruct, grow all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So here at Old Town Christian Fellowship, we all have different functions within the body, right? They're all different. Amen. You guys are all different. You saw what you did to Heidi when she was up here. But the ear has a different job than the eye, right? The nose has a different job than the collarbone. The knee doesn't do the same thing as the pinky. But they all need to be working together for a common goal and purpose. So our common goal and purpose, I've said it, I'm going to say it again, is loving God, loving people, and making disciples. So all of these different independent functions and giftings that we have should be working together toward accomplishing these goals. So it's the job of the head to make all of that work together, not to badger the elbow for not being more like the esophagus, you know, or the Achilles tendon to not be more like the spleen. But to make that all work together. So in the church context, guys, who is the head? Oh, I'm so glad you guys said that. Christ, Jesus, right? Some churches, they would have said, oh, there's the senior pastor. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, God speaking. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. It says, and he put all things, or speaking of God, he put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, so the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Jesus is the head of the church. And although I'm not the head, I do play an important role in discerning information from the head, and not me exclusively, the assistant pastors here, the elders here, getting leading and direction from the head, from the Lord, and distributing that throughout the church, organizing that. But when the body of Christ is functioning under the head, things work pretty smoothly, you know, and things don't get missed, and there aren't areas that are lacking. However, sometimes in the church, not everyone is involved in fulfilling their function and their role. And this is not a call them to account, beat the sheep message. Because I think sometimes people just don't know that they're supposed to be serving the Lord through serving the church, serving the body. The other thing that I think happens way too often is we don't do a very good job of showing you how and where and how do I get connected. And I feel like maybe the Lord's given me this gift, but where do I plug in? I do think, guys, that every Christian should be serving God in some practical, intentional way, as opposed to just experiencing unintentional or accidental ministry. Are you looking at me? I'm not communicating well. Accidental ministry. You bump into a friend at school or a coworker, and they're going through something in their life, and they come to you and they say, hey, you're a Christian, right? You know, and they seek your counsel, and you have opportunity to share with them and tell them about God. That's accidental ministry. It just kind of happens throughout the course of the day. Or you're at Starbucks or Aroma Joe's, right, and you watch the distracted barista, and they've just made a really hot espresso, and they spill it on a customer. And the customer jumps up, ah, that's hotter than hell, they say. And you rush right over there to tell them, actually, hell is way hotter. And go through it, and you lead them to Jesus right then, right? Accidental ministry. It just, you came upon something. Not that it's not ordained by God, but you didn't plan it, right? It's not in a way that is structured and purposeful. And that's what I'm saying is I think everyone should have a place of purposeful ministry in serving God. And not necessarily or not limited to, not just within the church. You know, there's all kinds of opportunities within the church, but there's opportunities at the Bangor Homeless Shelter. There's opportunities at soup kitchens. There's opportunities within your community to be serving God and loving your community, loving people as you love God, but having it be purposeful, planned ministry. So deliberate ministry would be using the gifts that God's given you, again, both inside and outside of the church, to serve him on purpose. Teaching Sunday school, using the gifts of administration, giving, gifts of hospitality, serving, again, at the soup kitchen or Bangor Homeless Shelter. My sister has actually started leading small group Bible studies online through a ministry that she's been involved in. Just being able to reach out and answer questions that way from home. But all Christians should have some type, some form of intentional ministry that they're involved in, serving the body of Christ, not just receiving from it. So we want to kind of help you guys find your fit. And like I mentioned before, sometimes when we do that, we can try to push pinkies into being thumbs, or we need a whole lot of knuckles around here, you know, or we need a whole lot of children's ministry workers, so we're going to take you and try to plug you in there, squeeze a kneecap into the role of a knuckle. And that's not always the best way to do things. It's not a very good fit. So myself and the other ministry heads around here are going to try to help you find your role, help you find your role, right? Not do it for you. Because when we do something like this, that's sort of the danger that comes with it. It's I announce this, I encourage people to serve, and then somebody undoubtedly comes up and says, Pastor, give me a ministry. You know, make me the head over something. Create something for me. Or, I have the gift of singing. I'm convinced of it. Only they don't. You know, or I've got the gift of teaching, and you can plug them into that role, and unfortunately, nobody seems to have the gift of listening, you know? So maybe it's not that, and I'm not saying this is a perfect process, that there will be some of that. There will be some hit or miss, and I think I have an inclination towards that, and okay, let's try it without a lot of pressure. This, even the people that are up here, guys, this is not in any way about performance, or it shouldn't be. You know, it's not about performing for the church or doing any of that. But there has to be some gifting in it for it to bless the church, right? It can't be a distraction. If I were up here singing, that would be a distraction. It'd be horrible. It would not be a blessing to the body. But every Christian, every person here, we want to find and develop an intentional place of ministry. Let's move on here. Verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So Unity, guys, we're talking about us all working together for a common purpose, a common goal, but unity should never be promoted at the expense of individuality. Okay, that the individual giftings would be lost in that. So we're never going to wear uniforms here. You know, so we all look the same, other than like Carhartts and flannel, you know. But we're never going to do that. We're never going to go out and all get the same tattoo or something. So we're all just the same. We don't want to lose that individuality that God's given us. But neither should that individuality diminish the unity that we have as a body. And we need to do, as a church, whatever it takes to help develop and grow that sense of community. And some of that may just be, Lord, I'm not feeling it. Or Lord, are we, when we look at your scriptures and we line ourselves up as a church against it, I don't know that we're fully there. So how do we do it? And I don't have a perfect formula. But some of it is us individually and corporately to pray, Lord, give us that sense of community. You know, give us that sense of oneness as a body, as all these individuals are put together. Verse 6, I want to point this out. It's important. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts or encourages in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads, lead with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So that's the other thing. The gifts, the different varying gifts within the body, they're distributed by the discretion of the Holy Spirit. Right? We don't get to pick. I don't get to have a gift just because I really, really want to have that gift. I really, really want to have the gift of singing. You know, if I could choose, I'd be a frustrated rock star up here. You know, that it didn't make it big, but in Old Town, I'm the guy singing. God specifically and purposely didn't give me that gift. And I know that, you know? But the Holy Spirit decides what gifts we're to have. And our job as Christians, not just as leadership, but as Christians, is to pray and ask, Lord, I don't know, or I'm not using it, or it hasn't been revealed, and it might only be this big right now, and it needs to be grown and developed. But the others of us, like, hey, my gift is service and cleaning and making the toilets the shiniest toilets in any church in Maine. Don't discount that at all. Or my job is teaching, or my job is this. We're also to just run in our lane. You know, to do the things that we're called to do and be faithful in those giftings. We all have a responsibility to use the gifts that God's given us. With that, on the back table, guys, there's these sheets, color photographs, okay? And at the top it says, where can I serve and who do I need to talk to about it? Okay, so men's or women's ministry, Pastor Brian and Nicole Eggert were there. Children's ministry, Awana clubs that was mentioned on Wednesday nights. Music ministry, sound engineering and video in the back there. Youth ministry, the addictions ministry. We'll be hearing from Dan next week. And if you look at the back, dirty jobs, okay? See those muddy fellas on the back? And First Hope Food Ministry. What's not on here is phone numbers and emails. Because we're one body, right? You got pictures, color pictures. So you can go through and find these folks and actually communicate, be present with them and have a face-to-face and talk about it. And they are so overwhelmingly anxious to speak with you. The thumbs really want more thumbs to come along, and the knuckles have been praying for knuckles. So look for these on the back. I said we were going to do 1 Corinthians 12. Turn there real quick with me. Real quick, that gives the impression that we're going to end in 3 minutes. But We'll make the game. Thank you for the reminder. I'm thinking the Bruins aren't playing until tomorrow night at 7. So, right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, skip all the way ahead to verse 12, okay? 12 through 14. Actually, verse 11, when I was just talking about the Holy Spirit, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, okay, as the Holy Spirit decides. And then it goes into verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, wait a minute. It's like the writer of this was reading Romans, right? It's sort of like God here wanted to make a point, wanted to repeat. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Again, this idea of us all being one. As you look at your own body, since that's the example being used, guys, do you know that every cell in your body shares the same DNA? All the cells that we talk about, the different parts, and they're crucial to the function of the body, that they work in order together, but all the cells in your ear have the same DNA as the cells in your toe. The order's important, right? My tongue would not be as valuable to me if it was over here on my elbow, right? But it's that shared DNA. And the important thing about that, guys, is we're all members of the same church body. Stay with me. We just got a couple minutes left. We're all different parts. We all function in different ministries. But the fundamentals of the ministry, the DNA of Old Town Christian Fellowship, should be what we all share. If the foot is working at the bank, right, and another teller asks the foot, hey, you go to that church over there, don't you? The one with all the stringy stuff in the parking lot. What are you guys all about? It should be the same answer that the butt would give if they were asked at work, right? Hey, somebody's got to be the butt. All serving different roles. But the ear knows and the toe knows. All the knuckles, they know. The nose knows. We emphasize the Word of God. We live that out by loving God, loving people, and making disciples. On the back table, again. And you guys need to help me out here, okay? Because I've already been criticized starting yesterday that table just looks a mess of all the stuff I threw on there. But a couple different things on the back table. One, and there was a lot more out there, but the Wednesday night crew that comes here are just some pen thieves, okay? But I actually encouraged it. And you all can take some of them. It gives the church name and the website. There's a little stylus on the back for your. But these are kind of a cool thing just to carry and have with you. You know, and you go to a restaurant and sign the bill. Hey, keep it. And get that out there. But these, I'm actually really excited about these. These are little invitation cards, okay? And I strongly encourage you to clean up the mess in the back. But everybody grab just a few of these and carry them with you. Because how many of you... You don't have to raise your hand. That'll take up a little bit of my time. But how many of you have been out and you tell somebody about your church and it's this church in Old Town and you might say the name two or three times and where is that? And then you see them next week when they don't show up and it's like, I forgot or I didn't know what time it started. You know, and these little cards have the name of the church. It's you are invited, has the address, has the website and the service time so they can get all that. And you know what else it has? Love God, love people, and make disciples. So you're reminded all the time about that DNA of this church, and so are the people that you're invited. What are these guys about? So I encourage you to grab some of those. So, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? In the armpits, I guess. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. So if we're taking this seriously, guys, if we're going to look at and examine the scriptures and say, how does that apply here? Then it's the job of the leadership and the job of all the parts and members to also make sure that nobody feels left out. Like, I don't belong here. If you guys just give me grace, give me 4 minutes, okay? If you just take a minute, one of those four, and just think about, don't point anybody out, don't call names, but if you just look around and think, man, I've been going here for a long time, and who here might be feeling that way? You know, they're not involved in serving. What I mentioned about yesterday, those relationships, and that these guys really love each other, that comes out of serving together as a part of that body. So if you were to just think, like, who here, who might be feeling that way? Who might be feeling left out, or I don't belong, or maybe that's you. And you're thinking, you know, I've been going for a while, and, you know, I've come to this new church, and some of that is intellectual, like our evaluation of a church. We go to a church, and well, the people got pretty good hygiene, you know, or the worship is good. I like what they do. It's not all old, and it's not all new. I like that. They're not a cult. You know, they teach the Word of God. But then there's something beyond that, where you walk in, and it's, I belong here. Or there's a sense of community here that I want to be a part of. Or, you know, I tried that church and they just weren't friendly there. And I didn't feel welcome, or I didn't feel like I fit in. And that's something as a church body, I want to pray that the Lord will give us and grow that. Because I don't want anyone here to feel like they don't fit or there's not a place. And the burden of that, here's where the hard part comes in, is I don't really have a three-step solution for it. You know, because the responsibility is on your part as members and on our parts as leadership. And some of it is you taking a little bit of risk and praying over this. And Lord, where can I fit? Or like Heidi did. You know, God, you're calling me to do this and Awana ain't on the list. But got confirmation from the Lord that that's what she was hearing and approached us with that. And found an awesome fit that already has been a blessing to this body. And be willing to fail. Be willing to try something and it's just awkward and it doesn't fit. Because, listen, everybody here has something, right? But nobody has everything. So everybody is needed. And there's a role for everybody. That something that you have might need development. You know, it might need encouragement and refining. And honestly, that something that you have might need healing. You know, maybe you stepped out and you used the gifts that the Lord has given you in the past and you've been hurt and wounded. And maybe you just need to come and hold that gift and sit here for 6 months or a year and heal. But express a willingness to the Lord to let him use it. I'm almost at the four. I can't lie up here. Can I say we as a church need what you have? Okay, I'll end with that. If we're going to function properly as the Lord is our head, we need what you have. Something's missing. So I pray, encourage you guys over the next few weeks, just examine that before the Lord. Lord, where can I be used? I don't know totally. You know, talk to anyone on this list, even if it's not your area. Talk to Jeremy, Beth, the elders. All the leadership isn't on here, but these are just different areas. And ask that they'll pray with you. All right. We'll close. Father, Lord, our prayer is that you would grow the sense of community here, the sense of oneness. Lord, that we wouldn't be individuals sitting in chairs, unconnected, Lord, but individual members, individual parts working together for the common purpose that you've called us to in this community. So, Father, I pray that you'd grow that sense of community, Lord, that no one would feel left out, that you'd give us wisdom, both as individual members and as leaders, as to where to plug everyone in, Lord, where to fit it, to be better organized with that. Lord, help this to sink in. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.